This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artists. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and of course, to find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions with Gary Clark Jr. I'm Megan Oftermat, and I'm here with host Eric Holland at WFUV. Eric, listeners are going to hear something a little bit different today because this actually wasn't a Studio A set.
We went on the road.
We went on the road. The songs are courtesy of CBS Saturday Morning, and we got to talk to Gary backstage at Radio City.
Pretty amazing opportunity. You know, it was a big night for Gary, as he spoke about in the interview. He fantasized about playing the place. He's headlining Radio City for the first time in front of about 6,000 friends. And we're sitting backstage on the afternoon prior to the show where the Rockettes dress.
Pretty cool. And you've actually talked to Gary before. I feel like this is like kind of full circle. Like, he's a decade or so into his career. What has it kind of been like for you to watch him evolve?
It's been brilliant, of course. I think the evolution that some people might finger would be bluesman to a more well-rounded musician, but I would argue that that's not really the case. I think that that's a common perception, but it's all there right from the beginning, right from the debut album. You can hear the Curtis Mayfield, you can hear the Marvin Gaye, you can hear the Stevie Wonder, as well as the Three Kings, you know, B.B., Albert, and Freddie. And as he speaks about in this chat, you know, he was thinking about just setting the guitar down, because I think he gets a little annoyed, a little tired of being pigeonholed a little bit when he's got so much to offer. And oh, what a singer, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric, what are we going to start this FUV Live session with?
From his album of this year, JPEG Raw, This Is Who We Are.
Show you how.
Comics. This is who we are.
Eric Holland backstage at Radio City Music Hall with Gary Clark Jr. We've already been talking about Rubens before this thing got started. And I know you lived in town, what, about 3 years?
I did. I was a resident Lower East Side for about 3 years.
So what do you miss, if anything? What were the highlights of that time?
At that time, I was just wandering the streets. I met my wife in New York at the Bowery Hotel. And soon after, I was chasing her around and I ended up being a resident here. And she was working a lot and I was new to the city. So I just would pop up and find different food places. You know, I got really good at day drinking and I was like, you know, would find myself in these funky little like punk rock or like rock and roll clubs down there, like Pianos and, you know, Arlene's Grocery and like, you know. All that
Lower East Side haunts.
Yeah, Mercury, Rockwood, all that. You know.
What was your first show gigging in the city? Do you remember?
My first gig in the city was, I think it was Mercury.
Yeah. That's kind of standard.
Yeah, Mercury and then Bowery. Yeah.
I know you've played all around. Is this your biggest headlining show to date at Radio City?
Yeah. To be here at Radio City is kind of a big deal. I was tripping out. I got out of the car and it said, tonight. Gary Clark Jr. And I was like, man.
New York City, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah, I've seen this place. Yeah, it's legendary. My introduction was the Rockettes and the movie Annie. I've been trying to get here ever since.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
You and 6,000 friends.
That's
should
incredible.
Be a great night.
That's incredible. Yeah.
I did get to speak with you 9 years ago. Sonny Boy Slim, when you came to the Bronx.
Yeah, the Bronx, baby.
And by the way, much appreciation because you've dropped by our studios a number of times, you know, on the first record and on the last record too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you guys have rocked with me since day one. So anytime we get a chance to hang out, I'm always down.
Appreciate it. This time we've got some songs courtesy of CBS Saturday Morning, including This Is Who We Are, a great follow-up, in a sense, to This Land. Mm. Could you say something about that tune?
This Is Who We Are was about to get deleted. It was March 2020, and my wife had just delivered our third child late February. So I was hanging around for a couple of weeks, and I didn't have any gear with me because I was like, I'm just going to take a break. It was right after the Grammys. I was very excited about 2020, but I also was like, I need to take a break, you know, and just kind of enjoy this, be here with the family. And then so about 2 weeks later, I was like, I need to get up out of here. And I went to Guitar Center and I bought a whole studio setup. And that day I recorded This Is Who We Are. And it sat on the shelf for a couple of years. And I was in the studio with Jacob Skiba. Long story, less long. And I skimmed past this record and he said, what is that? And I said, I don't know. A few months later, Scooter, my manager, was in the studio. Was, what is that? I don't know. Y'all need to do something with this. And so I was going crazy trying to come up with the lyric. And I was like, I hate this. I'm going to get rid of it. It's not worth it. It's driving me crazy. You guys see something in it that I don't see. It was just something that I did. I never gave it an afterthought. So they're like, you need to do something with this. I was like, fine. So we called up a writer and a couple of writers, and things didn't really go well. And then this sweet artist in Austin, Texas, Nala, was in the studio and she said, hey, I think I got something. And I was like, give it to me, like whatever it is. I just want to be done with this thing. And she came up with the first verse of This Is Who We Are. And we wrote the chorus together and it was like, okay, I think we got something here. And then it just flowed. And that day she laid down a scratch vocal and we came back and did a couple of edits with the writing and the lyrics and arrangement. And then it was on. We sat back and listened to it and I was like, that's pretty cool, I guess. There it was.
Now Nala is on the studio version on JPEG Raw. Is that her as well on the version we just heard?
That is Nala on that version. Yeah, absolutely. She came through and blessed us with an amazing vocal.
The album JPEG Raw creates a lot of different sonic environments. You created a lot of different sonic environments to play your guitar in. Mm. And that's a great example of it. And another song that we're going to be able to listen to a fresh recording of does the same thing, which is Triumph.
Well, I didn't want to make a guitar album. I actually didn't want to play any guitar on this album. I kind of wanted to do the Andre 3000 thing and be like, no bars, you know, but like no guitars. I just wanted to make an album that was more important than the guitar solo. You know, it's like, don't bore us, get to the guitar solo. And I was like, no, I really want to explore everything sonically that I can. You know, I grew up listening to all kinds of music, orchestral, jazz, blues, rock and roll. I was a choir kid in school. We did musicals. I was that nerd, you know? And I just wanted to incorporate all of it, use all the sonic space that I could. And people would come in and go, that's a lot. And we would even take stuff away, you know, just so the mix could breathe. And anytime he took something away, I was like, no, my foot's not tapping. I'm not having a physical response to it. You know, that sizzle and the percussion is not making me want to dance. You know, like taking that away is not making me want to dance. So put it back in and just make it work. You know, and it was a fun process. I didn't think about playing guitar. There was a couple of songs where I just didn't care to. You know, it was like, you need to put some guitar in there. I was like, no, I don't. Like, yeah, you do. It's like, fine. So I would reluctantly play guitar on this album.
It's my record.
You know, yeah, it was like at a certain point, I just didn't like it anymore. Honestly, I got bored with myself and I got bored with the instrument and expectation. You know, I think the pandemic really helped me like check myself and find who I was again, you know, outside of Gary Clark Jr., this person or whatever. I was like, I'm just a dude who likes stuff and likes to make stuff. So I'm just going to make stuff. And then here we go.
Let's get back to guitar in a second. But first, listen to Triumph. The studio version is from JPEG Raw. This is a fresh version for FUV Live.
Be the same again. I hope you learn the difference between enemies and friends. When they call you out, don't shut them down, just go and blow up. When they violate your space, go ahead and blow up. Know that life is not a race, take your time slow. Light that spark inside your mind till they feel it in. Shows up, you know you could be amazing, you can really grow up. Light that spark inside your mind till they feel it.
Yeah.
93.7 WFUV. It's FUV Live with Gary Clark Jr. That was Triumph. JPEG Raw is the new album. You're touring behind it. It's really just bursting with creativity and chops. And it follows your MO of the previous albums where it's a gumbo. It everything's in there for the most part. I mean, it kind of scans like a double album. It's fast.
Yeah, it's a lot. Being Louisiana adjacent, I guess gumbo is a meal in rotation. But we also did this record in the middle of a lockdown during the pandemic. So I was alone for a good chunk of it. I built a studio and I was just by myself. And it was, you know, smoky in there. And I was just doing whatever I wanted to do, you know. And there was nobody saying, let's go for this direction, let's go for that. I wasn't even trying to work on a record. I was just making stuff just because I was going kind of stir crazy. And so the fellas came in and contributed a lot of ideas. And here we are with JPEG Raw, like you said, a big bowl of gumbo.
Please give us the acronym.
What is the acronym? It's been a long tour. We're at the end of it.
Well, maybe we can team up.
Jealousy, pride.
Pride, envy.
Envy, greed, rules, alter ego, worlds.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, that was just something I came up with. Like I said, the room was very smoky, and I was like, oh, that kind of fits, you know? So it wasn't like this profound thing. It just kind of made sense in a world of social media and being bombarded and informed by images, some of them filtered, some of them fake news. You never know what's going on. So I was just in that mind state of, you know, what's real, what's not, and, you know, not really socializing with people, but getting my info from my smartphone, which I don't know, makes me smarter at sometimes.
Well, it's an apt title to suggest the breadth of the album. Mentioned you dropped by the Bronx Studios a handful of times, and I gave you a guest DJ pick that day, and I'm sure you won't remember this, but
nope.
I do. It was Stevie Wonder. It was from Hotter Than July.
Oh.
All I Do.
All I do is think about you. Yeah, that's a jam. Yeah, I remember that.
That was the first thing I thought of when I heard Stevie Wonder was on your new album. It's like, oh man, I can't think of anything cooler for Gary than that.
I can't think of anything cooler than that either. I mean, that was an absolute honor to have him even consider me, but he called me up and said he had a song idea and we should do something together. And I was like, what? Who is this? So yeah, it turned into this magical thing. We were in communication. He said, you know, I was on social media, like I was talking about earlier. I was just in my phone and I got to making a video when there was a lot of terrible things happening, and I was kind of frustrated and just like, what are we going to do? And, you know, what kind of world are we leaving for the kids? And he calls me up and said, hey, I heard you. I saw you. Let's make a song about it. And What About the Children happened. And we got to go out to California and hang out with him in his studio. And he gave us 2 days of the most incredible, badass Stevie Wonderness. I mean, he was so gracious with his time and really collaborative. And, you know, it's Stevie Wonder, so everything he does is great, right? So we're in the studio, and he asks, you know, after a take, he says, what do you guys think? And myself and Jacob Skiba, my co-producer, you know, everything was like, yes. And he goes, nah, man, like, tell me like it is. He's like, I need y'all to work with me. And then from that point on, it was go time, and we were committed. And I think it's a beautiful record.
Did you give him a nudge to play clavinet?
Oh, yeah. So the clav thing happened. Jacob was asking if he would play clavinet. And I said, I'm not going to ask him. I said, there's not one in the studio. So obviously he's not really thinking that, you know. So I said, I'm not asking him. So it was like in a movie, like slow motion. Jacob goes to the red talkback button. And he's like, Stevie, what do you think about playing clav? And he goes, yeah, we got one. It was like this whole thing, because we were asking him before and asking his team before. Shout out to Lamar. We were asking him, you know, would he play clav? And they're like, he hadn't played clav in like a couple decades. So I'm not sure. So it was like this tense moment. And he was just cool as a fan. Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. He went and grabbed one and dusted it off and he went to work.
It's the dream come true. That and harmonica. Exactly what you'd want.
Yeah, absolutely. A harmonica. I mean, Stevie Wonder playing harmonica, clav, and I mean, his vocal is incredible, but I think his outro ad lib is one of the best vocal outro ad libs of all time. That man sang.
Woo! When you were in LA, you also got to hang with George Clinton.
Yes, I did.
Just checking the boxes.
You know, my dad told me when I was a kid, he said, man, y'all don't know nothing about music. He's like, I was there at the Oakland Coliseum when 1976 when the mothership landed. And I was like, that's cool. So cut to a couple decades later, I'm in the studio with the captain of the mothership, George Clinton. And it was a really proud moment for me. I mean, I grew up with Stevie Wonder and George Clinton in my house on a regular basis as we danced in the living room to all their records. And so, you know, to have both of them on this album, it's beyond, you know, it's beyond.
Were you a big Eddie Hazel guy?
Eddie Hazel? Absolutely. Eddie Hazel, the fuzz, tones. That was my intro to guitar, is that stuff, like funk, R&B, blues stuff. Mm. Eddie Hazel, Curtis Mayfield.
And I'm so glad, Gary Clark Jr., that you didn't decide not to play any guitar on the album. I mean, I think I get it, where you're coming from with, you know, you will not be boxed, and that's, you know, you're not close to that, but.
No, but I really hated playing that guitar solo. I was mad about it.
Mm.
But then I listen back and I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. I get tired of myself. And so I have to be talked back into it, I guess.
And it seems like you run the gamut where you're almost like different characters playing guitar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you said that. You said what I like to hear. It's like characters. You know, I love movie soundtracks, and so I kind of can see what the scene is like musically when I lay it down. Like, what does this look like? You know, what action is happening? Is this a car chase? Is this a love scene? Is this an argument? Is this a, you know, coming of age thing? You know, is this a friendship? Like, is this a bar scene? You know, like, Don't Start to me is like a bar scene, you know? So I kind of wrote it as such, like created it as such with like the lyrical content of wanting to beat up a dude, you know, or potentially like shoot a guy. You know, that's like some saloon bar stuff. And so I can see these characters in my mind. It's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino meets John Wayne thing. The voices come with that. I was playing, you know, vocally, I was coming up with different characters, like really approaching it not as my record, but like kind of like a film, I guess.
Yeah, I've never heard anything like that as far as a musical approach. I think it's paying dividends because, you know, at times the guitar is elegant, and a number of times, and this is my favorite stuff, is when it's nasty.
Yeah, right.
And the song we're going to end this FUV live session with is Mock Tube, which definitely is in my wheelhouse there.
Mm-hmm.
So as the last licks, as we wave aloha, we got to move. Mm-hmm. Can you give us anything about that?
That's the car chase. Mock Tube was a song that I wrote with my friend, Saman Ashwari. I already had the music, and I said, this needs to be like a march. Like, let's, you know, like, we got to move. Like, without kind of being like preachy, I guess. You know, that kind of scares me. But I think at that time, we needed like to be our own cheerleaders in the middle of the pandemic. And we're looking around going, things are crazy. How do we express this in a way that's like people can feel motivated? Like, you know, just put that energy out there. Like, we're going to be all right, you know? And so that was the whole motivation behind Mock Tube. And Saman came to me with the title and he said, after everything we talked about, you know, it means it is written, you know, like destiny. I had a conversation with his father, who's of Palestinian descent, and he was talking about how music was so powerful and how as young kids in Palestine that they would listen to the Beatles and listen to American music and music from all over the world, and they would get together. And that was their hope, you know, was music. And it would bring together these people in these horrible times, and they would be joyous and triumphant. And so that's what Maktoub is, and that's what I'm here for.
Music is the healing.
Hey.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you, WFUB, always.
Gary Clark Jr., the new record is JPEG Raw. We're going to wave aloha with Maktoub. Over and out from Radio City. We'll be right back.
That was Gary Clark Jr. performing and in conversation for WFUV in New York. A big thank you to Gary for taking the time to talk to us ahead of his Radio City Music Hall performance and to Warner Records. Thanks to CBS Saturday Morning for the music you heard in this episode, and thanks to Jim O'Hara for additional mixing. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Simone Yanez. Megan Oftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. I'm Eric Holland. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV New York.